Good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to anyone who's a visitor or here for the first time. We do hope you will come and join us for refreshments in the Mayo Hall behind the church here after the service. The day continues with interactive worship at 11:30, and then at 6:30, a special service to mark and commemorate the end of KURC's involvement with brigades, and that's preceded by a tea at 5:30. Everyone is welcome. Joan Mackay, Dot Dixon, and Eddie Keir are all in Kingston Hospital. Congratulations to, our former minister, Keith Fisher, and his wife, Barbara, who celebrate their diamond wedding on Thursday this week. A couple of things. This week you may have received or seen a copy of this leaflet, which announces on Wednesday that there'll be a meeting at 7:30 to think about how we are going to tackle our youth work in the future, now that Emily is leaving us. And then on Thursday at 7:30, there's a meeting for all musicians who would be prepared to play at the 11:30 services. You're invited to come together and talk about the future. But do beware, please, because on the leaflet here, it talks about Wednesday the 28th and Thursday the 29th. In fact, it's the 27th and the 28th. So it's this Wednesday and Thursday, respectively. And then later on in the week, the next Open Gardens event is at the Borthwick's Garden in Surbiton on Saturday the 30th. Church news is now out, and you can pick up your copy in the vestibule. And just a quick preliminary word about Sunday the 14th of August, when there is the Surrey Classic Cycle Race, which will be passing through Kingston, and it's a dry run for the Olympic event next year. And it's a Sunday, and it's going to be disruptive, so it'll disrupt us here to a certain extent. There'll be limited access to the town centre, and the church is in the restricted zone, which is near the route, and within this zone, traffic movement is strictly controlled. Also, you can't cross the race route, which runs north and east of the church, except on foot or by bike. But do please have a look at the notice in the Mayo Hall, which explains things more clearly. It shows you where the route passes. Also, there's a listing of what buses are operating, and if they are being diverted, how they're being diverted. But the good news is, I was told on Thursday that both Eden Walk and Brook Street car parks should be open on that day, but you'll just have to have a little think, perhaps, on how you get to them.
Lord, as we gather here today, open our ears to hear your word. Draw us closer to you. Open our minds to discern your will. We join to sing, God is love, let heaven adore God.
Thank you.
Let us join together to pray. Let us ask for God's forgiveness for those times when we have been fixed on ourselves and not on the kingdom. Lord Jesus, you have won for us the treasure of forgiveness and life in all its fullness. And we have been ungrateful and turned away from you. You have given to us the treasure of God's love, and we have been hard-hearted, and we have rejected the needs of others. Forgive us. And in the family of your church, you have given us the treasure of your presence and your strength, and we have been apathetic. We have not celebrated and we have not been prepared to share this good news with others. We ask that you would forgive us. Rekindle the flame and the passion in us. And lead us on to the fullness of the good news of Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. This morning in our Bible stories, we're going to be looking at things that start off as really tiny, that end up as really large, or things that are really tiny, but that doesn't mean they're not precious, and the outcome, the effect of them in terms of the way somebody responds is large. Now, I don't know about you, but in many houses, there are little tiny things that cause all sorts of great big huge disputes. There are many families where there are massive fights about toothpaste tubes being squeezed in the right or the wrong place, or J cloths being squeezed or not, or tea towels folded, you know, all that gubbins. Little tiny things that mean a lot. But there are good things, little tiny things that mean a lot. And we're going to go for the good things. So, little tiny things, I've already warned you, it was on the order of service. A little tiny thing that is important to you. A little tiny thing that makes you smile and makes you happy and you're glad. Little tiny thing. Go on, Barbara. I will amplify that. Barbara says a little tiny thing that if she's not up in the morning, Denise, as she walks out the door, taps on the door and says, "Good morning, Mum." John. Oh, bless. Right, I will amplify it for this lot. Just a little tiny thing. John says it's walking on the outside of his wife on the pavement. Just your wife, John, or any woman? Any woman but, yeah. He would do it for any woman, but his heart sings because it's his wife. Oh. Right, come on. Anybody else? A little tiny thing, Ray? When Stella says she'll make the tea. I have to tell you, if those words ever happen in our house, no, that's not true. Right, Billie Jean, what little thing do you really like? little tiny thing that you think is really good. Please and thank you. Really important. Anybody else? Oh, right. A whole night's sleep as opposed to waking up in the middle of the night. Lots of knowing nods, lots of knowing nods. Anybody else? Hello, a little tiny dog is a little tiny thing, Barbara. A little dog, all right, okay. Grandchildren, they're little tiny, but they're not little tiny. Right, so we're going to sing, thank you, Lord, for duh, duh, duh. I need some duh, duh, duhs. Thank you, Lord, for duh, duh, duh. And walking inside of my wife doesn't work. Thank you, Lord, for little tiny dogs, that works. Right, anybody get anything? Little, thank you, Lord, for... Please and thank you. That works. Thank you, Lord, for please and thank you. Thank you, Lord, for cups of tea. That's two. Another verse, please. Thank you, Lord, for please and thank you. Thank you, Lord, for cups of tea. Thank you, Lord, for good night's sleep. I'm sorry, a good night's sleep trumps a little dog. Right, up again. Here we go. Yes, you do have to stand up for this. Thank you, Lord, for please and thank you. Thank you, Lord, for please and thank you. Thank you, Lord, for please and thank you. Right where we are, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Right where we are, thank you, Lord, for cups of tea. Thank you, Lord, for cups of tea. Thank you, Lord, for cups of tea. Right where we are, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, right where we are. Thank you, Lord, for good night's sleep. Thank you, Lord, for good night's sleep. Thank you, Lord, for good night's sleep. Right where we are. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Right where we are. This story, some of you will remember, it's the sort of story that people were taught as they were growing up. It's the choice that is offered to King Solomon. His discernment between what is right and what is the best. And here he makes the wise choice for the longest view, as opposed to that which might have made him happy for the short term. And Alistair Borthwick will read this passage to us.
That night, the Lord appeared to him in a dream and asked him, "What would you like me to give you?" Solomon answered, "You always showed great love for my father David, your servant, and he was good, loyal, and honest in his relations with you. And you have continued to show him your great and constant love by giving him a son who today rules in his place. O Lord God, you have let me succeed my father as king, even though I am very young and don't know how to rule. Here I am among the people you have chosen to be your own, a people who are so many that they cannot be counted. So give me the wisdom I need to rule your people with justice and to know the difference between good and evil. Otherwise, how would I ever be able to rule this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this, and so he said to him, "Because you have asked for the wisdom to rule justly instead of a long life for yourself, or riches, or the death of your enemies, I will do what you have asked. I will give you more wisdom and understanding than anyone has ever had before or will ever have again."
For many people, the eighth chapter of Romans is the Gospel according to Paul, and also one of the most deep and important bits of the Christian scriptures. This passage outlines the hope, which is the hope for believers, those who wait on God's purposes. And Jean Thompson will read this passage to us.
Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. In the same way, the Spirit also comes to help us, weak as we are. For we do not know how we ought to pray. The Spirit himself pleads with God for us in groans that words cannot express. And God, who sees into our hearts, knows what the thought of the Spirit is, because the Spirit pleads with God on behalf of his people and in accordance with his will. We know that in all things God works for good with those who love him, those whom he has called according to his purpose. Those whom God had already chosen, he also set apart to become like his Son, so that the Son would be the eldest brother in a large family. And so those whom God set apart, he called. And those he called, he put right with himself, and he shared his glory with them. In view of all this, what can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Certainly not God, who did not even keep back his own Son, but offered him for us all. He gave us his Son. Will he not also freely give us all things? Who will accuse God's chosen people? God himself declares them not guilty. Who then will condemn them? Not Christ Jesus, who died, or rather who was raised to life and is at the right-hand side of God, pleading with him for us. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it? Or hardship, or persecution, or hunger, or poverty, or danger, or death? As the scripture says, "For your sake we are in danger of death at all times. We are treated like sheep that are going to be slaughtered." No. In all these things we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from his love, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor other heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Feels a bit light in comparison with the depth and the intensity of that reading from Romans. The suggestion from scholars is that the first bit is to be preached to everybody, and then the second phrase in this reading is only to the disciples, the inner circle, whatever. The main message of it is to those who are looking on the outside of the church, the early church, the message is, you ain't seen nothing yet. Alan Johnson will read this passage to us.
And so from Matthew 13, reading verses 31 to 33. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man takes a mustard seed and sows it in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it grows up, it's the biggest of all plants. It becomes a tree so that birds come and make nests in its branches. Jesus told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A woman takes some yeast and mixes it with 40 litres of flour until the whole batch of dough rises. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man happens to find a treasure hidden in a field. He covers it up again and is so happy that he goes and sells everything he has and then goes back and buys that field. Also, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man is looking for fine pearls, and when he finds one that is unusually fine, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that pearl. Also, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Some fishermen throw their net out in the lake and catch all kinds of fish. And when the net is full, they pull it to shore and sit down to divide the fish. The good ones go into their buckets, and the worthless ones are thrown away. It will be like this at the end of the age. The angels will go out and gather up the evil people from among the good and will throw them into the fiery furnace where they will cry and grind their teeth. Do you understand these things? Jesus asked them. Yes, they answered. So he replied, this means then that every teacher of the law who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who takes new and old things out of his storeroom. Amen.
I was visiting somebody in the hospital ward, and I could hear in the way that you can, you know that something different is going on, but you can't work out what it was. And I could hear that somewhere, what was happening was that a healthcare assistant was going from bed to bed and just saying to somebody, to the person that was in the bed, "You okay? Everything all right? Family okay? Everything good? Okay," and then moving on to the next person. "Would you steward in the building?" "What a waste of time that is," came the reply. "Yes, but you're going to be allowing a group of disabled young people to have their drama group, which they obviously really enjoy. All for the sake of you reading your book for 2 hours." Or again, the story of a family who rushed to the door of the manse when the postie came because no one from their new church had popped round even to say hello. Or again, the holiday club where one child chose to play traditional, brackets, dull, board games every session for 5 days. And those who were playing with that person, that child, were delivering the youth work that he decided he needed. Sometimes we wish that we could do great, big, huge, enormous things with our lives. A big thing that would make a massive splash. But most of the time, we are called to do small things and to do them well. The mustard seed is not the smallest of seeds. The point of the story is the contrast between the small seed as it starts and the result of the harvest. This tiny seed goes in, this plant comes out. It's an exaggeration to call it a tree as well. It's literally, the whole thing means it's greater than the rest of the vegetables. It's a bush. But the huge extent of the kingdom is not dependent on its tiny beginnings, unimpressive beginnings. And then we have yeast, and it's the same theme. A tiny amount and a massive effect. So 3 measures of meal, 40 litres. So we're talking about enough bread to feed 100 people. Think about that. It's your job, you've got to go around to Sainsbury's, bring me enough bread that will feed 100 people. These stories are set out to contrast the way it turns out with the little tiny way that it starts. And for the ministry of Jesus, those who were looking in from the outside hear what he's got to say and look at what's going on, and they probably laugh rather smugly at themselves and just think it's not going to happen. And Jesus is promising growth and saying that at the minute the seed looks small, it looks fragile, it looks pitiful, but just watch this space. And my friends, I would contend to you that that is the song of the United Reformed Church. And particularly, it is the song of Kingston United Reformed Church. And I know that it's a difficult message for some people to feel comfortable with, but I believe it to be the truth. We are a bunch of small people. We are a group of people that others could easily dismiss, but we are a group of people who allow amazing things to happen. We don't do them because we're clever. We do them because God is at work through us. We don't do it because we're sorted. We do it because God is at work through us. We don't do it because we're strong. We do it because God is at work through us. And we are the leaven in a number of lumps. We're not the people that if anybody wants to talk to about, we're not the movers and shakers in Kingston. That's not who we are. And I do appreciate that "come and join us, we're a bunch of losers" is not the tag that's going to win us many friends. But I do believe that we are who we are, a group of small people who are reliant on God, and God is at work through us. So I know that some people would aspire that we should be a big church with a big sexy church with loads of 30-somethings. But that's what other people are doing. And the call is to try to do our bit and to be wise and not to think of what will be quick and what will be instantly successful, but to do what is right and to do what we believe is God calling to us. So let me give you an example from Sugin's ministry. If you want to build a church quickly, then what you do is you keep it socially from one section of society. Because then, like attracts like, and people come, and so it grows. The challenge is to keep your church diverse. So the easiest thing for somebody like Sugin, when he arrives in the UK from Korea, is to start his own church. And that is happening all over the borough, that people are arriving from Korea and they are gathering people around them and they know people, so people come and they form churches that are made up of South Koreans. The North Koreans and the Chinese Koreans are another challenge. But the South Koreans, and people gather this gang of South Koreans. That's what's happening. Sugin's call is to be a bridge ministry between those who come as South Koreans who are, if they're Christians, predominantly they are Presbyterians. Hello, that's us. And our job is to be who we are, and his job is to find ways to help people who want to worship in English to be integrated into the life of Kingston United Reformed Church, and particularly, of course, New Malden United Reformed Church. And now, increasingly, as a wee aside, his job is spending time working with and learning about and ministering to those who come into the UK who are Chinese Koreans and North Koreans. Because if you think about somebody who comes here from North Korea, you can imagine that their situation is such that they need a lot of support. So, what would be quick, what would be easy, is not what he's doing. His job is to work with the assorted gang of Africans and Europeans, especially the Scots, the occasional West Indian, and, all right, fair enough, one or two of the Land and Hope and Glory English as well. That's his calling. The Romans passage that Jean read to us is a passage that speaks a word of hope. Whatever persecution, whatever trauma, whatever trial is going on, God will not let us go. However it feels, It is a word for the early church in their persecuted state. Therefore, it is also, my friends, a word to the European, North American, European church in its state. However it feels, God will not let us go. There is nothing that can get between us and God. The worst of circumstances and the best of circumstances. And I lost and then found the neither life nor death. I knew about the death bit, but I'd lost the life bit. That life can separate us. No, it can't. But it can feel like it does. Neither life nor death can separate us. So this passage is not a passage about predestination, as some people have taken it to. It's the words of a preacher preaching, as somebody writes it. Somebody preaching that which is small and insignificant and feels very tenuous and difficult and dodgy, still God is at work. And this is a message that's to be heard, and that passage is a passage to be pored over in Bible studies. But for here and for now, hear the words of somebody speaking of the greatness and the power and the significance of God. A word to encourage us through tough times. And of course, for those who are outside, the whole thing actually looks like madness. When will you people come to your senses? When will you see that this faith of yours does not actually save you from all difficulties and challenges? What is good, they would say, is the bigger the better. The more money you've got, the better it is. The younger you are, the better life is. You know, get rich quick, sort yourself out, that's what matters. And into this mix, we have the encounter with Solomon. Solomon could have said, I want to be rich beyond my wildest dreams. But he says, I want to be wise, and gets rich in the mix. And Solomon is proverbial for being wise. If anybody knows anything about anything, they know that Solomon was wise. He's the guy that put the wise sayings together. Well, maybe, yeah, but Solomon, wise. And the teaching from Kings is that those people who survive or people who fail depends on their right and their wrong choices in God's sight. So Solomon, because he chooses wisdom, makes him the pinnacle of wise kings. If you do what is right, then you will be okay. And that is one reading of Kings, but we know that it is not how life is. And it is the thought that's around when people say, why has this happened to me? I'm a good person. Why has this happened to me? It's a sort of flawed theology that still gets in the way for people. There is many circumstances, yes, I know there's cause and effect, but there's a whole load of others where it isn't like that. The whole thing is much more complex. So you go back to the story in the Gospel, the story in Matthew, where this woman, making her bread, or that man, getting that pearl, is changing things by a whole load of micro choices. Micro choices. Little choices that we can do and we can manage. Micro choices. The work of the kingdom. Tiny things that have a massive effect. God gradually changing the world and being part of God's reign. and leaven in bread that usually was a sign of corruption. That which looks like corruption actually is how the kingdom is spread. And the parable takes pride in the effects that are going on all around. What others might have thought of as corruption, the believers see as change for the good. So the message is in the Romans. The method is in Kings. Look to that which is substantial and eternal, as opposed to that which is the quick fix. And then from the gospel, look to that which is small and can have a massive impact. Small, like thank you, good morning, I love you, please. Let us pray. Strengthen us, Lord Jesus. Take us beyond ourselves to see you at work in us. And to know that there is nothing that can come between us and you. And give us the confidence to do your will. Lord, we pray. Amen. The hymn, Hail to the Lord's Anointed.
answer intercessory prayer. Let us pray. The ministry intervention to the church is to pray for all people that they may discover the treasure of faith and the communion with God. Lord, hear your people and let our prayer come before you. We pray for all Christian people that they may hold their faith dear and continue to love according to the gospel. Lord, hear your people and let our prayer come before you. We pray for all people everywhere that they may open their hearts and mind to the good news of the gospel. Lord, hear your people and let our prayer come before you. We pray for the leaders of the nations as they work for progress and prosperity, that they may not lose sight of the poor and their needs. Lord, hear your people and let our prayer come before you. We pray for the sick, pain, problems, walking, and ages, for those in need, that in their suffering they might find care and compassion from those around them. Lord, hear your people and let our prayer come before you. Loving God, we thank you that in your Son, Jesus,
we have found the treasure which makes our life worthwhile. Keep us in your love and care, now and always, and bring us at last to the joys of heaven. Amen.
Continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. We pray on this day, O God, for those who are anxious that they do not have enough money. And we ask that you would use this money that we bring. Use it well, for it is precious to us. And we ask that you would bless those who administer it, that all would be to your praise and glory. Lord, we pray. Amen. During the night, a friend and a lodger of Helen Ferrelly has died. So she would like, her favourite hymn is number 492, which is Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. 492. Go in peace to live the kingdom, to share its treasures, to keep the faith. And now may God the Creator bless us. May God the Son inspire us. And may God the Holy Spirit enlighten us, now and always. Amen.